The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing it. If you missed Gush Fest in the first hour of the show, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcast. Basically, we had a long list of national pundits, national sports opinionists: Mina Kimes, Matt Hasselbeck, Damian Woody, and Teddy Bruschi, Colin Cowherd, and even this morning I heard Jeff Saturday on Unsportsmanlike. Like, all waxing poetic, all singing the praises of the Green Bay Packers. Some even saying they are the team in the NFC that you do not want to see as the season wraps up. They're the team you do not want to see in the postseason because they are on an upward trajectory. And there's a lot of optimism about what Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love and Jeff Hafley and Xavier McKinney, et cetera, Josh Jacobs can do down this stretch. I thought the Gush Fest would get under Chewy's skin a little bit more. It did not. Disappointing for me. But the other conversation that people are having, guys, is how well Jordan Love is playing. I heard the guys in the afternoon yesterday saying Jordan Love is back. Chew, based on what you have seen from Jordan Love over the last few weeks of the season, do you believe he is quote unquote back?
Yes, he seems to be playing smarter. He's not putting those dangerous throws out there.
Yep.
Very calculated, very patient, you know, not forcing the ball down the field. I think that's where he ran into a lot of his trouble. He's, although that one down the middle of the field too, and I can't remember if this was going to be a penalty to Tucker Kraft.
It was.
Was there, yeah. There was a flag.
It was a free play. Was a free play, so he was just chucking it up.
Okay. So that was fine, but no. I like how he's just, if he doesn't have it, hit the check down. Because Jacobs or Kraft is, you know, they're going to get you what you need on a play. And a four-yard gain on a play that didn't really go well is fine. So, yes, he's playing better.
Over the last few weeks, he is averaging 8.5, 10.3, 9.8, 7.1, 15.4 on yards per attempt. He is, you know, we had talked about throwing the ball further down the field. But again, guys, we had talked about the balance, the ratio of run to pass. You don't need Jordan Love to win you the games the way that this offense is going. You need him to be able to hit his targets. And we had talked, Gabe, about how Sunday night, at one point, there was only one incompletion. I think it was at the end of the third quarter. He had only had the one incompletion, which was to Romeo Doubs. Was that in the end zone?
It was
the
end zone,
some of the Romeo Doubs. And it should have been a catch, should have been a touchdown. I believe that's what the broadcast group said as well. How do you want to see this offense kind of structured in these final few games of the season against the Saints and the Vikings and the Bears?
The most important thing for Jordan, just you got to keep running the football because that's clearly what this team needs. I mean, when Josh Jacobs, you think about the last year, when Aaron Jones was the focal point of the offense, what did Jordan Love do? Played spectacular football. And maybe that's still what Jordan needs right now. He needs to be, you know, running those plays off the play action to kind of get some of those bigger windows that he's been able to hit downfield. The impressive thing to me about him is because even he had the, you know, the first interceptionless game of the year was against San Francisco. There were still a couple of throws there where if San Fran just catches the football, like, he would have had two more interceptions. But the last few games, the ball hasn't even once been put in harm's way. Like, there haven't been those throws where you're going, oh, whoa, he... So that's the biggest thing for him. He just needs to continue to play like that and keep the ball out of harm's way and let Josh Jacobs and let the offensive line do the rest.
And the receivers are helping him out because they're not dropping as many balls.
That right? helps. Always helps.
I mean, that definitely helps. And you know, quarterbacks get frustrated when you have 3, 4, 5 drops in a game. And that changes your numbers, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so no. Trending. That's the word of the day. They're trending. They're not there.
Same with Jordan then? Like, keeping it Jordan specific and maybe the offense by extension, he is trending to be a top-tier quarterback in the league. He's not there yet?
Yeah. No. I think he's very coachable, and they're doing a good job with him because clearly in the beginning of the year, he was reckless. You know? He had a couple pick sixes, which were stupid throws, and I think he's corrected that, and I'm sure LaFleur makes it a focal point. Look, you don't have to hit a home run every time. Single's fine, right? And that's kind of what he was doing early in the year, and he's corrected it. And when you get, that's the thing. When you get to the playoffs, man, one turnover can decide the outcome of a game.
Sure.
And it's just good to see that they've cleaned it up.
In the last four games, he has zero interceptions. Yeah. So the last one he threw was against the
Bears.
That's right.
What I find very encouraging is his interception numbers have come down and putting the ball at risk, the interceptable passes. But he is not hesitating to take risks or go down the field. You see a lot of guys at times who clean up the interception problems, but they're throwing it within 6 yards of the line of scrimmage. Like, Jordan Love is completing deep passes pretty consistently. Like, he's comfortable enough to huck it up there and trust his guys to sort of win when they need to.
And look, we have always talked about what is the key to success in this league is being able to hit the explosive plays, you know, when the defense is giving you the option to do so. I think Jordan is a good option. That play, too, God, I'm trying to go back in my video camera in my brain. Was it to Romeo Doubs? Was it Doubs streaking across the back end of the end zone? Was that Doubs back there? And he was well covered. It felt like he was covered. Maybe he had a step on the defender, or am I thinking of somebody else?
I mean, Doubs had, are you talking about the one where Doubs picked it off the turf in the back of the end zone?
Maybe.
Where Jordan threw him open, where he was running like, The second touchdown he had?
Right near the post.
Yeah.
That was the second touchdown in the second half.
Yeah.
Where Jordan Love threw a guy open. He found open field. The Romeo Doubs, not really good at separating, but if he gets his hands on the balls, he's probably going to catch it.
Yeah, and that was a situation where that field was wide open. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a calculated risk of, oh, this part of the field is wide open. I can get this ball to this guy, and it's not... Either he's catching it or it's an incomplete pass.
Right.
You know, so that's where you're not, it's not even a risky throw, right?
Oh,
because there's so much space there, but you're still getting the explosive play and the eventual touchdown out of it.
And again, too, the other thing that we had said is they're putting up the big points, right? 38 points against the Niners, 30 points against the Dolphins, 31 points against the Lions, 30 points against the Seahawks. I said yesterday, every time they ask us for a score prediction, I'm not going under 30. Like, this offense has shown that they can do it. I guess the next question for you, Chu, is do you trust Jordan Love now in the postseason? Do you trust him in the biggest moments and in the playoffs to be the guy this team needs to make a deep run? Because early in the season, you didn't.
No. And, you know, going back to last year's playoff game, it was an errant throw that kind of ended the season for him.
Yeah.
But you learn from things like that, you know? You learn from your mistakes. So he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
If there is one thing, guys, that they could be better at offensively, it is the third down conversion rate. 6 of 13, 5 of 11,
yeah.
1 of 5, 5 of 12. I mean, you'd like to see that, especially in these last few games, a little closer to over 50%, right?
Oh, yeah.
60%?
That's pushing it. Like I said, 40 is the number. Anything under 40 is Holmgren would deem unacceptable. So 40 is the number. And then anything over that is gravy. But when you start playing these, you know, these really good teams, you know, Philly, I'm just trying to see. Because Philly's defense, I think, it's obviously better than Detroit. It's better than Green Bay. They might be top five in the league, right,
Gabe? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to have to go up against these really tough teams.
I mean, they gave up 163 yards to Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh isn't an explosive, and they were playing without Pickens.
Yeah.
But still,
what?
163 yards.
It's their lowest total since 2010.
That's a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad day. And they had 400 yards of offense against a very good team.
Against a very good defense.
And I don't think Pittsburgh's going to be knocked out of the top 10 in power rankings. But that is a good game. Jen, you'd look at that. If that was us in 96, that's a hell of a game right there. Way to go. We're trending in the right direction. They're there. Philly's there. They probably wish the playoffs started tomorrow. Green Bay isn't there yet.
When you said 40%, my brain immediately was like, that feels low for third down conversion rate. 40% right now would put you at 11th or 12th in the league. The top teams in the league right now, Kansas City are converting at 51%, Baltimore at 49%, Tampa Bay at 48%, Cincinnati 47%, and look at how well it's working out for Cincinnati, by the way.
Well, it is working out for them.
Detroit.
Offensively, yeah.
Offensively. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Defensively is
a different story. From a wins and losses standpoint, it doesn't seem to be the barometer. Detroit at 46%, Washington at 45%, Philadelphia 45%, Buffalo 44%, Arizona 43%, San Francisco 42%, and down here at 15th, Green Bay right now converting at a 38% clip.
Yeah, that's low. So not very low, but, you know.
You'd like to see it improve
5%
a little bit more.
All those teams that you're going to be going up against converted a higher rate.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got power rankings coming up next. I wonder if Chewy has even looked at the list yet. Have you looked at the old power ranking?
I'm going to see if I like it.
Does ESPN.com even work on the laptop anymore?
I'm still in as a guest. Wish I knew my password.
I didn't expect you to suddenly remember your password, so that's not shocking.
It's not working. I know it's price. I know it's price. But it's not working.
What do you mean? Did you say what your password was out loud?
On the radio?
Well, obviously he didn't, because it doesn't work.
But it's some version of it. It's some variation of it.
Why? There's no porn on this one.
You can go to break now.
I'm not even going to attach a sponsor to that, so we'll just move right along, Joshy. We'll be right back after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What we need is a chart. And every week, we take the shirtless picture of Chew, and we move that to wherever the prediction is of how many wins that they
six,
have.
Eight. Six.
Seven.
I think that's how it goes now, right?
Eight, and they six, lost, and he seven, stayed. 5309
on 94.5 ESPN.
Summerfest is bringing Def Leppard to Milwaukee next summer. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, 10 a.m. You're not going to want to miss that. Buy them, summerfest.com or Ticketmaster outlets. Thursday, June 19th is the day. Def Leppard with Tesla at the American Family Insurance Amphitheater. Enjoy a great night hearing all the Def Leppard classics. And caller 4. Caller 4 right now, 800-990-3776. Wins two tickets to Def Leppard on June 19th. Caller 4, 800-990-3776.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night? Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
Okay. Good list.
Oh.
Good list.
Voice dropped down the octave.
Yeah.
Usually
it's
okay.
Good list, pretty much. I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all. Let's just see if you can run the table.
Interesting.
All right. 10 bones. What do we got?
I put the Rams here. Winners of three in a row, I put the Rams.
Vikings. I got to stick with this.
So you're just going to throw it?
I'm just saying, I got to stick with this idea that I'm not sure the Vikings are a very good team, so I got to say that they're 10th right now.
Okay, we're not running the list. The Washington Commanders are number 10.
Okay, I guess.
The Rams, Gabe?
Yeah, they've won three in a row.
13.
Really?
Yeah.
Division leader.
Yeah. Wrong, though. 9.
Houston.
I'm just going to keep saying the Vikings until the Vikings are on the list. Is that going to take a while, Chew? Or?
Are you throwing the game here? Or yeah. Gabe nailed it. Houston is 9. They beat the Dolphins. McDaniel going to get fired?
No.
Should he get fired?
No.
Why?
It's one off year. I mean, it made the playoffs a year ago.
Okay.
I don't know how much better they're going to do.
I don't want to say he bothers me. I just think he's so inflated.
Who bothers you?
Mike McDaniel. So let's just stop crowning people wizards before they do anything.
Yeah, but he looks like he belongs at Hogwarts.
You only like him because he vapes on the sideline.
It's sick. Objectively sick.
8.
The Ravens?
Yeah, Baltimore here.
Baltimore is 8. Where do you stand on Baltimore?
Very dangerous, but they can shoot themselves in the foot with the best of them.
Okay. 7.
Vikings.
Yeah, you got to put Pittsburgh there.
Pittsburgh is there. What did we learn?
Why won't you play along with me?
Because Minnesota's number 1. I'm just telling you right now. What do you think of Pittsburgh after the Philly game?
They are good, probably in the same tier as the Packers and Vikings, but a step below. Like
but they cannot
step.
Win.
Pittsburgh
no.
has
they
a
cannot win.
Pickens no. problem.
Yeah, if Pickens isn't out on the field, then they're out.
But they still can't win.
Even with Pickens correct, they cannot.
Remember when people wanted the Packers to draft George Pickens?
That'd be
remember
nice.
That?
No.
He's
really?
Got all kinds of.
He's kind really of, good.
He's yeah, really he good, is, but he's all.
Yeah.
The best ones are.
A
look at this
crazy.
Guy.
That's
a
good we got point. One right here.
Yeah, I was about to say, over here. Hey.
Now that wasn't nice at Christmas time. Six.
Christmas is next week. The Green Bay Packers.
I'd like for the Green Bay Packers to be a little bit higher on this list, but I guess they're going to be below the Vikings, so Packers here.
Packers are six.
That's good, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I think that's
it's good
fair.
For right now. It's, yeah. It's very trending. Okay, Jen. Five.
Should I do the horn?
Gabriel?
Yeah, Minnesota Vikings.
Minnesota is five. And they have, they have Seattle this week.
Seattle.
At Seattle.
At Seattle.
Is Geno going to play?
Don't know. If he doesn't, well.
Is that going to tell us
that's
anything?
The season.
Is that going to tell us anything? Let's say Geno plays.
I don't think it's going to tell you much unless Minnesota loses.
Okay.
Last week, did head-to-head matter? I can't keep straight which week's head-to-head. Maybe, Gabe, it's like, well, remember when the Giants were winning the World Series and it was an every other mm-hmm. year sort of thing? Maybe the power rankings only care about head-to-head every other week.
I wasn't here last week, so I don't know.
Well, clearly head-to-head didn't matter last night because they beat the Bears by much more than Detroit and Green Bay did.
I'm just wondering if the Bills, who beat the Lions, are above the Lions, if head-to-head matters, and the Lions are here.
I mean, the Lions are so beat up, they got to be four. I'm saying Detroit.
Real quick, do we know who's going to have the Minnesota-Detroit game? Is that going to be a
we
Sunday
don't,
night?
Don't know yet.
I mean, that should get flexed, though, right?
Well, so every game, no game for the final week has a time right now.
Okay.
Some games will be Saturday, and then they'll fill it all in after we get to, you know, the end of week 17.
Okay,
four. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get it.
The Lions should be here.
Yes. We all agree. Detroit's number four.
You're saying Detroit four?
Yeah.
No, it's Buffalo.
What? Uh-huh, and there it is. Does head-to-head matter?
Obviously not.
Yeah,
how is Buffalo?
I'm waiting for
Buffalo
the
is four.
How is Buffalo
behind
is
Detroit? They just beat them head-to-head.
On the road.
Not like a while ago. Not like you could have forgotten about it. Literally this weekend.
Yeah, wasn't the Thursday night game? That's
yeah,
wild.
But there's two losses to three losses.
Okay.
But they played head-to-head.
I agree. Buffalo should be three.
Like it's not a standings, it's a power rankings, and Detroit's so bleeping beat up, like they gotta get dinged for the beat up and get dinged for the loss.
Is it because
still
were they one last week? Were they look at your power rankings, Chu? They were one
last week.
Then that's probably why. They didn't want to fall them all the way to four. Even
they should.
Though I agree.
They should.
All right, two.
Gotta be Kansas City here.
Yeah, KC two.
KC, yeah. And then one.
Your guy, Fly Eagles Fly.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't agree with Buffalo, Detroit, but I agree with Philly is.
Oh, Philly's the number one team. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially with the injuries to Detroit.
Yeah.
That's interesting, though.
Philly, you have the least amount of questions about right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Kansas City's got the ankle injury to Mahomes right now, so that's everything's coming up Green Bay right now.
This is kind of panning out to be a luscious playoff, I think.
The NFC is deeper than we probably previously thought.
Who can slow down the Buffalo Bills right now, though? Keep going.
Philly. Defense is good.
In the Super Bowl.
Kansas City's defense could. I don't know if Kansas City can score enough right now with Buffalo, but again, there's enough history there. Kansas City's defense is really
good.
Where
did Buffalo beat Kansas City this year? At home?
Beat them at home.
Okay.
But, I mean, in the playoffs, Kansas City's beaten them in Buffalo. They've beaten them in Kansas City.
Yeah.
They've beaten them everywhere.
This is good. It's getting good.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have Rob Domofsky coming up today. I know you're thinking Tuesday with Rob Domofsky. Yes, we moved him from yesterday to today. He's coming up in just a moment. Accutrans is a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. Guys, this Saturday, when I have to get home from O'Hare, leaving my car in Milwaukee, guess who I'll rely on? My friends over at Accutrans. Why? Because booking is easy, safe, and dependable. You just go to their website, AccutransGroup.com. There you can get a quote and book a reservation today. And look, maybe you don't travel as much as I do this time of year. Maybe you have a holiday party coming up, or maybe you are headed on a vacation with your family like I am, and you don't want to leave your car at the airport. Guys, Accutrans is the solution. If you go to their website, AccutransGroup.com, you can find reliable and safe transportation. They will get you a quote, make a reservation, enjoy the ride. Book a car today, visit the online portal, or email info@AccutransGroup.com and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
We need a new intro for this year, though.
All right, we'll work on it.
Consider it done, Rob.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Look, I would suspect that we don't see Malik Willis throw the ball down the field a whole lot, especially early, but it would not surprise me if we got back to more of the quick West Coast stuff.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I was overly harsh about Gabe's golf game because I played terrible yesterday.
It's Rob Domofsky.
This better be a great segment.
On Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always great when we can check in with our friend Rob Domofsky on the state of the green and gold. Good morning, Rob. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Sorry for being a day late, but that's Seattle. I don't know how you do that West Coast travel all the time.
It is the worst. What should we take from the game against Seattle? Gabe and I went round and round and round and round yesterday about the optimism level about this team. Gabe saying that there was a stretch in the middle there, and he rattled it off, and we've made jokes about it. But basically, where the offense looked futile. How should we feel about the Packers right now? Only three games remaining in the regular season before they try to make a deep playoff run.
Well, the bottom line, Jen, is they put up 30 for the fourth straight game. And four in a row of 30 points is the tie for the second longest streak of those games in franchise history.
Whoa.
Like, right? So, like, as bad as it all was, and I agree with Gabe that there was that stretch in the second half. It was ugly. Like, it was, you know, if they were playing, you know, I can't remember exactly during that stretch when Geno went out, but, you know, they might have been fortunate they were playing a backup quarterback there and a backup quarterback who, quite frankly, was not very good. They could have been in trouble. But, like, I still think that you should feel pretty good about this team because, you know, they beat a good team on the road in a place where we were all talking about how this could be a playoff rematch and all this in a tough place to play where, you know, the Packers haven't won in a long time. I know none of these guys were a part of that, but I think you should feel pretty good about it, but not like not complacent either, because there was that stretch in there that was not good.
Yeah, Rob, I used the word trending. I think they're trending, but I would still, I mean, Jordan hasn't thrown a lot of 300-yard games. And I think when you get into the playoffs, there's got to be a 380. Or a 400, which the only game he's done is against Minnesota when they were down 28-0. But I was saying, I think this is a game against New Orleans where I'd like to see him sling it around and show the ability to do that. Because as you know, things happen in games. Running backs get dinged up. Something happens, a concussion and stuff. I would like to see a 380-yard passing game from Jordan. Well, how do you feel about that?
Well, I'm just trying to go back and look here to see what the passing numbers were in some of like the 2010 season against Atlanta. Rodgers threw for 366. Okay, I'll give you that one. Chicago, he probably sure he did not.
I'm not even sure if he got to 200 in that game.
Which game was that?
The Bears NFC Championship game.
Yeah, Philly. Can't find it here real quick. 180 against Philly. 180
but,
and three touchdowns.
But I just, Rob, I look at Detroit when they play Detroit. Detroit can score at will, it seems.
Well, yeah, no, they can. They can. But here's the thing, like, Mark, what would you rather have? What do you think is a better recipe for success? 125 on the ground and another 40 receiving from Josh Jacobs? or 320 from the quarterback. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I don't necessarily think that Jordan has to put this team on his back. What did he have in the Dallas game? Although they had a defensive touchdown in that game too, right? So last year. I don't know. I go back and forth on what's the better recipe for playoff success from an offense. Is it running the football, which clearly they're committed to? I mean, it's kind of funny. I said this to Belaga and Homer last night, like forever, you know, people have complained that LaFleur and McCarthy and, you know, would never stick to the run enough. And now you're pounding Josh Jacobs on the ground for the first two drives. And everyone's like, you're going to wear Josh Jacobs out. Like, so which one is it, right?
No, I just know in playoffs, you know, Rob, things get goofy in the playoffs. It speeds up, and coaches abandon the run quicker in the playoffs than they do.
In
the regular season. I would just like. Yeah. I think they're going to win this week. They're 14. Yeah. This game doesn't scare me. I'm just like, let's tune up the passing game a little bit.
Yeah,
maybe rest Josh Jacobs and toss it around a little bit.
I think to Chewy's point, I think they because part of the reason why they were so sluggish in that second half, Rob, is the Seahawks were committed to shutting down Josh Jacobs. Like, Josh Jacobs didn't have the running, and that's when Jordan Love started to become a little bit more inaccurate. Starts the game 17-18, finishes the game 3-9. Do they need to have a better plan in case somebody goes, hey, we're going to throw 9 guys in the box. Josh Jacobs ain't going to beat us today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're 100% right. And I don't necessarily think, Gabe, that the way to beat that is just chuck the ball down the field. Those are low percentage plays. I mean, to me, if they're going to load the box, you got to find there's going to be a room in the middle of the field. There's going to be room on the side. There's going to be room somewhere to just sit down against it, you know, run a stop route, run a, a stop and go, something. But it doesn't have to necessarily always be like deep, deep down the field. And I think they fall into that trap. Jordan maybe falls into that trap too much. And if I had if I had something where I was breaking down the tape at the end of the season, and I mean, you could do it now, obviously, too. But like for a long-term project for Jordan Love, it's the default setting shouldn't just be try to hit the deep ball all the time. And he's really good at throwing it. There's no question. But it's still a low percentage play.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Tuesday, usually on Mondays at this time. So we were just watching Get Up a few moments ago, and they were talking about Devondre Campbell, LOL, LOL. But I did read an article this weekend that said that part of the reason that the Packers even have Edgar and Cooper is because Devondre Campbell, how it all shook out with Devondre Campbell for the green and gold. Did we underestimate Edgar and Cooper's contributions, production, how impactful he could be for this defense? Because now after watching him, it feels like I want him out there for every single defensive snap.
Well, we didn't see him a lot, right? Like, I mean, he battled a few injuries, even going back to training camp, which seems like forever ago. We didn't exactly see the full potential of what Edgerrin Cooper could do, but let's go back to the draft weekend. I mean, there were people I talked to around the league that were, of all the players the Packers drafted, that was the one that they were most excited about, I guess, for lack of a better term, that they thought this guy had massive, massive potential, even more so than, Javon Bullard and Evan Williams and guys who were picked, right around him in that second, third round area. So, I think we just took a while for us to see him. I don't necessarily, the default setting is always, all right, now he's got to play every snap, right? And I get it. Like, you make a great point there. But maybe he played great because he didn't have a million things on his plate and he only had to play, 32 snaps or whatever it was. Maybe that's the reason he was able to be, really impactful. But if Quay Walker is going to be down this week, and I can tell you that he did not look great while limping out of the locker room, then maybe you do have Cooper for, 90, 100% of the snaps this week.
Rob, if the playoffs started this weekend, would you rather play Tampa Bay or the Rams?
Probably Tampa. Even though the Packers have gone out to L.A. and won before, I think it's a much different L.A. team than, they saw back in whenever that was, October. And they're you talked about trending, Chewy, earlier. I mean, I think they're trending probably in a direction that, is a little different than Tampa, who just seems like they've been kind of up and down. And now, both quarterbacks can scare you a little bit too, though, right? I mean, both those guys can put up a 380 game like you're talking about. We've seen it from Baker here, right? A couple of years ago, what did he have? A monstrous game. That was against Joe Barry's defense. I get it. And then, you know, of course, Stafford is more than, you know, capable and familiar. So, but I guess right now I would say, I'd say Tampa. I don't know, you know, whether that means you want to be the 5 seed or the 6 seed, but I think you certainly don't want to be the 7.
Rob, now that we know you have to hit a certain, not you personally, but that, you know, if you're a member of the Green Bay Packers, you have to hit a miles per hour threshold in order to be cleared. And we know that Luke Musgrave has hit his. Do we anticipate 20. To see him this week and as he comes back from his injury?
Gabe, I would suspect it's not this week. They typically, on these IR designated return guys, it's not usually just, it's usually like 2 full weeks of practice, and you don't play that end of that second week, but you play that third game. But yeah, I mean, like, it is a longer week, right, with the Monday game, so maybe they feel good about him.
Wouldn't you rather have him play, you know, a game against a team that's not as good in New Orleans before you play, going to Minnesota? I feel like that would be a tougher task.
Yeah, makes sense. Look, Dr. Anderson down in Charlotte did the surgery, and he and Doc McKenzie are, they're in perfect harmony, and both those guys, you know, tend to take the longer term approach. So if I was putting my money on it, and it has nothing to do with the opponent, I think you make a great point in that. To me, it's all about their timeline, and my guess is their timeline is that they'd probably rather see him go another week, but. You know, we don't really get to see the full workload in practice, although it does sound like Musgrave was extremely limited last week, like not even doing it team. It was more individual stuff from what little we could tell. But it's hard to know because they kick us out basically after the first period.
Rob, we were just baiting and arguing a little bit this morning about the Vikings and whether or not they actually are a really good team. Ooh. Chewy said that depending on who wins that game, not this weekend, but next weekend between the Vikings and the Packers, will determine who he puts on the top tier of NFC teams, joining the Eagles and joining the Lions. I wasn't that impressed with the Vikings last night. Maybe it's like what the Packers do and they play down to their competition a little bit with the Bears, but I did not think that Darnold looked that good. I thought there were errant throws out there. And I'm trying to figure out if I should be buying stock in this team and I should believe that they have a legitimate shot at a deep playoff run.
They really remind me, Jen, of the team a couple years ago when they won all those close games. Now, I know last night wasn't necessarily a down-to-the-wire single-score game, but they remind me of that. And what did that team do in the playoffs, right? Didn't they get beat by, was it the Giants?
Yeah, they lost to Danny Dimes and the Giants.
Right. So I would tend to be... Yeah, they're a really nice team that wins some games, but I don't know that it's capable of a long term playoff run.
I'll take that as a win. I'll take that as a win.
Why is that though? I mean, if you go man to man, I mean, obviously Darnold's Darnold, but I mean, Jefferson's better than anything they have. Addison's better than anything they have. Yeah. Hockenson's equivalent to Kraft. Aaron Jones is a little light from Josh Jacobs. And then they're going to have the snub factor, which I don't know if I agree with that. You know,
I don't know if their defense, Chewy, is dominating as maybe it has been in the past. I mean, you know, some of they're getting older on defense. It seems like the other thing too is, and I know that they came in here and won, but one of the things that I think Minnesota has the great advantage of is their home field, and they're not going to be up. They're not going to be at home unless they can beat the Lions, right? Unless they catch the Lions.
That's still a possibility for them, though, especially as beat up as the Lions are. I don't think it's that far-fetched that this team could be the number one seed.
That's the thing that I wonder about, Gabe, is where are the Lions really at? I mean, you know, how many more injuries can they sustain? I mean, Montgomery you know, it's a tough one, although you do have Jahmyr Gibbs. There's a defensive guy they lost the other day, 2 days ago, and I thought was one of their better defensive guys, one of their front guys. So it's a really hard to – there becomes a point where you're just too injured, right? I mean, and I don't know if Detroit's there or not, but they've got to be close.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this Tuesday. Rob, we really appreciate you. Look forward to chatting again very soon.
So are we doing next Monday before the game, or are we just going to stick with Tuesday as a
whatever
as a
you want, buddy. The game? Whatever right, you we'll want.
Dealer's choice.
We'll get with Josh and figure it out.
I love that Chewy's just like, whatever you want to do, Rob. I do whatever I want to do. Yeah. You should be able to do
you
whatever
just play
you
third
want.
Down, I'm the that's
Tuesday
fine.
Guy.
Wow, Jason Wilde's here.
A little pop in with Jason Wilde.
Sorry, Jason, I didn't see you there.
Rob, we appreciate you. Have a great one.
All right, we'll be seeing you. Take care.
Got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Maybe we will visit with Jason Wilde, who's hanging back there with our guy Josh DiMaggio in the production office. But before we do that, guys, tis the season for celebrating at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Join them this holiday season for all the special events that they have to get you in the festive mood. Look, they've got a celebration happening nearly every week throughout the holiday season. Surely you can find something for yourself and your loved ones to enjoy at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. You can also make a night of it and extend the experience by booking an overnight stay at St. Kate. Special packages are now available. Celebrate the holidays with St. Kate. You know what, guys? The other day we went down to the Nutcracker and my daughters wanted to walk through the St. Kate the Arts Hotel. They loved looking at all of the art exhibits as we made our way across the street to the Nutcracker performance. And it's always something festive that the kiddos enjoy. You can learn more by visiting stkatearts.com/holidays. That's stkatearts.com/holidays.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No, not how this
attaboy.
Works.
Attaboy.
That's not how any of this
That's
works.
That's how you make content.
What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's a Dude Tuesday for about 3 minutes.
Yeah!
Still counts. Still counts.
Count it.
I'll tell you what, that Jen's got a hot butt.
She blowing wind?
I can't speak to that, but I can say that she left the seat nice and warm for me.
Does Tausch view this as cheating, though?
I don't think Tausch cares a whole lot about what I do.
Because if I were to do this on your show, which I have done before, I think Chewy would consider it cheating.
I would.
I'm barely even going to address Chewy, because last time I was on this program yesterday, he wasn't even on, right? It was just you and Jen.
Yeah, it was just me and Jen.
And you were nice enough to give us some extra content by being Debbie Downer as opposed to Mary Sunshine about where the Packers stand. Has that changed at all in the last 24 hours?
No, I still think that this is a team that just has some ping pong balls in the, you know,
lottery bucket.
In the lottery bucket. Like, I don't think that this is a team that's
God,
one of
that's
the upper
a really
echelon.
Good analogy, buddy.
Oh, that's mine,
like,
by the
could,
way.
Could it happen?
Shut
Gabe.
Up.
It is Jay. It
you
is
stole
Chewy.
It.
Gabe,
I stole it. Steals stole from it. Chewy. I
Hugh on occasion.
Jason, I said trending. Is trending fair?
Yeah, they're trending in a look. They're trending in a good direction. Is it good enough? Well, the funny thing is I gave you a lot of grief both on our show, Gabe, and when I was with you and Jen yesterday, and we actually kind of agree, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I just put a happier face on it.
Yeah, because if I just think that this team's a year away. I think we all agree with that. I think that this team is going to come to full maturity next season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really exciting. I'm very excited about
like
it.
Like the 95 to 96 Packers that this knucklehead was on.
I look around at the rest of the league, and there's some really good teams. There's some really good teams that they are going to have to deal with. Like, Philly's playing really good football right now. Detroit's actually kind of the wild card.
I don't know what to expect from them, though.
Yeah.
They're so beat up.
But Jason,
for a while, I thought they could be the 2010 Packers, and then they just keep losing guys each and every week.
You know how good and how hard it is to win four games in a row on the road.
Yeah, it's really hard.
It's really hard.
And the 2010 team made it seem like it was easy.
Yeah.
And so I do think there's a portion of the fan base. I mean, I remember times when they got the bye and there would be fans who would say on our show, I would rather they keep playing instead of having a bye.
Yeah.
Especially given the disappointments of some of their bye seasons. All right. I'm going to take it in and shower up.
You're good, hey.
Yeah. Hey.
I don't know you who's subbing for me on Wilde and Tausch.
Pay that man his money.
But I've done my portion of the program. How does this show end other than with Huey Lewis?
We just turn the microphones off.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, we basically, Chewy and
you drink your 75-gallon jug of colored water, and that's it.
Yeah, Chewy turns off the microphone, walks out the door, goes to the bathroom, and goes home. Well, I guess he doesn't go home. He goes to the gym.
Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah.
I've been your interim host, Jason Wilde. Wilde and Tausch coming up next. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
More Jason.